So, I originally was reading out of Ephesians, which we'll get into a little bit later. And I noticed in this Ephesians scripture that I'm going to get into a little bit later how many times the name of Christ was brought up in this very short, succinct picture of the gospel. And it made me think of the very, very well-known scripture that therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And it made me think about that. So that's why I went back to this Philippians 2, 6 through 11. The name of Christ, the name above every name. So just on a simple level, what does that mean? It's not just a name. It's Christ. But his name above every name is just a simple picture of him being exalted above absolutely everything. It's not, and as a child, I remember hearing this, and I remember picturing it, and I don't know why I did. This is just the way my brain worked at the time. But I pictured it like a triangle or like a pyramid, and he's on the top, and everything else kind of trickled down. And that's not even close to correct. There's nothing in second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place. It's Christ here, and absolutely everything else is down here on the same level. So, in him and everything else, it's him and everything else. Christ's name is exalted above every name. Christ is above everything. Just laying the groundwork. So then you go to, and I just kind of go through the basic questions. This is how I kind of go through scripture. So the why comes up. Why is his name above every name? Well, earlier in this exact scripture that I read, you can read, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And then the word, therefore. Because of that work, because of being humbled from where he was to what he became, even to the death on the cross, therefore, it says in verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name above every name. There's your why. So what does this mean to the world? It means he has all authority over all things. Nothing happens without Christ. Nothing can stop his will. Nothing can alter anything that he's laid out to happen. He is exalted above all things and has all authority over everything, heaven and earth. So what does that mean for his people? Well, to put simply, it means absolutely everything. It means whatever Christ says or promises is. Every word he speaks, every promise he makes is. Period. Whatever he has done or accomplished is done and can never be changed because he has all authority. It means all that has happened and all that will happen is perfectly according to his will and his power. This is the power of his name. It is not to be taken lightly. It is above all things. It really caught my attention in the very next, in verse 10. I have heard this scripture 150 times since I was a kid. But I never caught this. I never thought of it this way. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth and every tongue confess. The name of Jesus, it says. I mean, it doesn't say, and to Jesus every name should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth and every tongue confess that he is Jesus Christ as Lord. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. What's the difference? Well, there's no difference per se when you say the name of Christ and Christ. There's no difference there in who he is or the power it contains. But in the way we look at certain scriptures and certain promises, it can really add a whole... the name of Christ carries power. And then when I was going through this Ephesians scripture earlier, before I went to Philippians, I went back to this Ephesians after kind of reading through what the power of his name means. His name in scripture, when you're reading a statement, when his name is put in that statement, it goes from just being a statement to a fact, a truth. It's not just a sentence anymore. When it says in Christ or through Christ, it becomes in stone. That's the power of his name. Just like him, it cannot be changed. What he has done cannot be changed. Anything done in his name cannot be changed, cannot be affected, will not be stopped. So now that we have a minor human understanding of the power of the name of Christ, I want to look back at this well-known scripture in Ephesians. And it struck me how many times, and I've kind of preached on this before, but knowing the power of that name and then reading through this scripture, the name of Christ in scripture, like I said, is a stamp, like a stamp of truth. It's like turning a statement immediately into an unchangeable fact. So if you want to turn back to Ephesians, which is actually just a few pages from where we are, Ephesians 1, verse 3. And we'll read through 9. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glory and grace, which we have has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. It's a wonderful scripture. Standing alone, it is a beautiful, simple picture of the gospel, which is perfect for me. Simple is good. This is the gospel. This is the good news of what Christ has done for his people, which obviously. Let's walk through this starting in verse 3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The sentence starts, praise be to God, and also says, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God stands alone perfectly fine, but he's also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name of all above all names. As a matter of fact, none of it can be talked about or written about without Christ. Every aspect of the gospel, every aspect of salvation, the payment of our sins is 100% on Christ, on his name. So it goes on to say, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God has blessed his people in the heavenly realms. He's blessed us in a way that's outside of this world, outside of time, outside of space. The blessings on us were here before the world began. and will be here after the world ends. What does this tell us? We are blessed in a way that time can't affect. We are blessed with salvation. We were forgiven of our sins. God loved and saved his people before time existed. Time cannot wear that down. Time cannot change that. Not only were we blessed in the heavenly realms, but it says we were blessed in every spiritual blessing in Christ. There is no spiritual blessing that a believer will be missing. Of all the possible spiritual blessings that could possibly be given by Christ, a believer will have every one. Every one of his people will have every single blessing, every single spiritual blessing. There are no levels of blessings. There are no tiers of believers. You are his or you are not. Every possible spiritual blessing for your soul is yours. Everyone, you are blessed as anyone has ever been blessed or ever will be blessed. You are as blessed as they are. A believer, no one will ever be more blessed than they are. In verse 4, he says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Now, I'm going through these quickly and then I'm going to come back. Again, in the very next line, God tells us, before the creation of the world, in the heavenly realms, we were chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight, set apart and blameless. Before the world began, we were blameless. Do you feel blameless? No. I don't feel blameless. Do you think people around us think of us as blameless? Absolutely not. But the next three words are what matters. We were chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight. You know, a really, really, really simple way to put this is all that matters is what God thinks of you. And that's, I mean, I'm not nearly as eloquent maybe as some speakers are, and that's probably not a terribly eloquent statement, but that doesn't make it less true. All that matters is what God thinks of you. It's pretty profound in a way. Like that's all that matters. Nothing else in this world matters. What anyone thinks of you, your most loved family member, doesn't matter what they think of you. Sure, you want them to love you, and in this life it matters. It feels good. But in the big picture, this world is going to end. Your life is going to be short compared to the big picture. All that really matters is what God thinks of you. Do you want God to look at you and decide how he feels? By looking at you? By looking at your life, your thoughts? I don't. But we don't have to worry about that. God's people don't have to worry about that because it says right here, before the creation of the world, we were chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight. So if all that matters is what God thinks of you and he looks at you and sees blameless, perfect, clean, deserving of his love. It feels weird to put the word deserving on us, doesn't it? But we are, because Christ was deserving of that love. So deserving that he had enough deserving for all of us. So in his sight, holy and blameless. (Clears throat) So let's see here. Where am I at? Okay. In love, he predestined us as adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one that he loves. He has chosen his people and his own children, sonship. He not only chose his people to be blameless, he chose his people to be his children. There's a huge difference there. I mean, if I just think about it in my simple way, like, think about if you knew a child that was just a really good kid, like, kind and giving, and maybe even adult. That could be either way. Just everything they did was loving, and you that person was so great, and everybody thought so highly of that person, that child, so good to others, treats others with kindness and respect. You look at that child with admiration, and you think he's great. Then change that and make that kid your son or daughter. What's the difference? Love. It's not just, look at how blameless that kid is. That's great. It's, look at how blameless that kid is, and I love him. I love him so much. I would do anything for him. I love the picture of a father and his children so much because, I mean, as much as I can understand it as a human father, I would do anything that I can for my kids, but that is super limited. There is no limit to what God can do for his children. So he looks at you and sees blameless child of his and sees you as perfect and loving and worthy of all of his love and blessing. It's so different than just seeing you as blameless. He sees you as his blameless child that he loves. So how does he make this happen? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished upon us, Christ. We were chosen and loved before creation, but because of Adam, we had sin, and we've added plenty of our own. Sin cannot be swept under the rug. We know this. Sin has to be punished. How can he see us as his blameless child that he loves? He made a way. In order for God to punish our sins and still see us as blameless, he sent Christ to creation. He entered the world. To the eyes of the world, that's all he was, just a man, a baby. But to the eyes of believers and to the eyes of his Father, he was a hero, a savior, the only way to salvation, the only hope for God's people. And he lived that life that he was sent to live perfectly, including his perfect death on the cross. And only because of what he did are we seen as God's blameless children. We simply cannot be thankful enough. With all that wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of all his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. So he's made, I find this extremely interesting that we go through basically the gospel, and then at the end, he talks about how he lets us know about it. He's chosen us before the world began. He has this place, this plan in place that is perfect. He carried it out perfectly. Christ died for the sins of his people. All of those sins were paid for. All of those people were saved to the utmost and given every spiritual blessing. All of those people were now seen as blameless children of God. And then, one by one, they're let in on it. The work has been finished. And then just one at a time, open your eyes. You can know the truth now. Nothing left to do. Work's finished. But you may see the love that I have for you and you and you. You may see what Christ has done for you. You may see what you are and your need for Christ. You have faith. The gift of faith is given to those people one at a time. The work completely finished. And then God's people are told. It proves that there's no such thing as allowing this to happen. There's no such thing as letting God into your heart. That is just wrong. It's right here. The work's done before we even know about it. How can we have anything to do with it? And all these wonderful promises, and we're going to go back through this quickly, have been stamped with that name above all names. These statements are given the most powerful exclamation point that there ever has been. They have been given the name above all names in these statements. So to us, to God's people, and really to the world, they just don't know it. When you read, and I'm just going to go through the first part of this, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Could stop right there. Could stop right there where it says, blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. But it does not. It says, in Christ. The name above all names, that makes this permanent. That makes this true. He calls himself the truth. His name is not on anything that isn't the truth and isn't permanent and unchangeable. Think about the power in that and the comfort and rest it should give us. Who are blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Boom. For he chose us in him. He didn't just choose us and said, yep, I like those guys. He chose us and paid for our sins with the name above every name. The power in that and the permanent satisfaction that God got from that, that God receives from that, is ours. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. Could stop right there. But there's no power in that sentence until it says, through Jesus Christ. And then it has all the power in the world. There's such a difference. The name above all names is attached to these promises given to us. And they make them perfect. They make them more powerful than we can imagine. I need to remember this every day. Predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. It can't be wrong. It can't be undone. It can't be untrue. Not with his name. In him we have redemption. Through his blood. None of these things can be said without him. None of these things are possible without him. And these would have absolutely no power without him. He is everything. And he's all we need. These wonderful promises that we can believe are true because they are stamped with the name above all names. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. The part where he let us know, which he purposed in Christ. It's not a coincidence that every time these wonderful promises are given to his people, it is stamped and finalized with the name of Christ. Without his blood, it carries no weight. But with his blood, it carries all the weight. It's all off us. These promises have been taken care of by the man who has all authority, by the name above all names. Without his names, these statements mean nothing to us. But with his name, they are an unchanging truth. Christ's name is what gives them power. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. He is the only truth. And he is the only life. His name above all else. His name is more powerful than anything you could possibly go through in this life. If you need that on a daily basis, you're going through some tough stuff, we all do. This life can be hard. There's no doubt about it. We've been promised that. His name is above all of that. He has conquered this world. Therefore, God has exalted him. Back into Philippians. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is more powerful than I can say. No matter how you're feeling, no matter how what your emotional state is at the moment, truth can be true for you on a daily basis and an eternal basis. As humans, we deal with things on a daily basis. It's our lives while we're here. God has conquered everything here. His name is above everything you can possibly deal with in your life. Keep that in your heart. Pray that he keeps that in your heart. No matter your emotional state, the work has already been done. You have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have been predestined to sonship through Christ. In him we have redemption through Christ. Permanent. Exclamation point. Salvation in Christ is unstoppable and unchangeable. Whatever you're feeling at the moment, whatever you're dealing with, has nothing to do with it. It cannot change it. It can't affect it. You are saved forever. I say that with anger, but not really. That's wonderful. Music. I listen to music a lot. And there's some lyrics I listened to the other day that I'm going to read again. This is different than what I've read in the past. But it helps me on the daily basis. The daily life that we have to deal with in this world. Remembering that his name is above everything. That he has conquered everything you can deal with. Yeah, we have to deal with it. But in the end, all will be good. But that doesn't mean that sometimes we're not going to have difficulties. And they can be out here, they can be in here, they can be up here. And in those times, I like to remember these things as much as I can. It talks about, it says, you are not hidden. And this is God speaking to his child. You are not hidden. There has never been a moment that you were forgotten. There is no distance that cannot be covered. You are not defenseless. I'll be your shelter and I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear you whisper that you have nothing left. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, it's true, I will rescue you. I will never stop marching to reach you. In the middle of the hardest fight, it's true, I will rescue you. Now, obviously, the tense of this isn't correct. And some of the specifics aren't necessarily right. Future tense, God doesn't march. But you get the picture. The symbolism is correct. You're never forgotten. You're never alone. If you are one of his people, he will never stop marching to find you. He will rescue you. You're never out of his sight. There will never be a moment that you are forgotten. And nothing can stop him from saving you. Nothing has stopped him from saving you. Nothing can change the fact that you belong to him. And all of these promises are stamped with a name above all names. These promises are in Christ. They are unstoppable. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you with wonderful thanks for being our amazing Savior, for being our ruler, for your ultimate power, for your name above all names, for being so wonderful and great and still loving us in such a way that you would give your own life and suffer the way you did so that we would never have to. It is mind-boggling, but it's the truth. And we can trust in it because we can trust in you. Remind us of this each day, Lord, until we finally get to be with you. We pray this in your name, your perfect name. Amen.